Today's daf is Zvachim daf Nun Gimel, and we are at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Nun Beis Amid Beis. So this is the second Mishnah in Perek Ezeu Mekoyman. Ezeu Mekoyman discusses Ezeu Mekoyman Shal Zvachim, different details that relate to different types of korbanos. The Perek began with Kachei Kadashim, specifically the Korban Chatas, specifically the Chatois HaPnimiyos. The second Mishnah continues discussing a Korban Chatas, but we turn our attention from the Chatois HaPnimiyos to the Chatois HaChitzoinios. Zok the Mishnah, Chatois HaTzibur VeHayochid, the Chatois HaTzibur and the Chatos Yochid that were brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzoin were also considered Kachi Kadoshim, Eloin Chatois HaTzibur. What are examples of Chatois HaTzibur that were brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzoin? Seirei Rosh HaKadoshim VeShomayadis, the Seirim, the goats that were brought together with the Musafin on Rosh Chodesh, and together with the Musafin that were brought on Yontif, they were Chatois HaTzibur, they were also Chatois HaChitzoinios, and they're the next thing that the Mishnah is going to discuss. What's the halacha? Shchitas and Bitzafin, the Kibul Daman, Biklisharis Bitzafin. That's the halacha of all Kachi Kadashin, the Daman Ton, Arba Matonois, Al Arba Karnois. Additionally, you had to do four Zrikois, or four Hazois, with the Dam. Where were they? They were put on the four Karnois on the Mizbeach. Ketzad, Allah bekevesh, the Koyein would go up the ramp, upana lesoiviv, and he would turn towards the soiviv. Now, we're all familiar with the kevesh, the ramp that led up to the Mizbeach. But in addition to the one big ramp, there were also two side ramps that shot off the main ramp, and those ramps led to the soiviv, which was a little ledge. Rashi says it was an indentation inside of the Mizbeach, six amos high, that allowed the Kohen to circle, to walk around the Mizbeach. So, Allah Ba'kevesh, upon the Soiv, he would go on to the Soiv, Uvalay the Karen Dremis Mizrachis. The first corner of the Mizbeach that he would come to is Dremis Mizrachis. From there, he would go to Mizrachis, Tzafoynis, Tzafoynis Maravis, Maravis Dremis. And at each one of these Karnois, each one of these corners, loosely translated, we'll see more in the Gemara, he would go and he would do a Zrik. Shari Adam, when he had leftover blood, Hayashaytach HaYisoid Dremis, he would pour it into the Yisoid, but not the Yisoid HaMaravi, which was what the Kohen would do with the Shirayim of the Chatois HaPnimiyos. Now he would pour it into the Yisoid Deroimus. More about that in the Gemara. The Necholin, a Karban Chatos, was Nechol to the Kohanim. Where did it have to be eaten? Lefnim in HaKlon, inside the Azara. Lezichrei Kohuna, meaning there was no chelik that was Nechol Lebailim. Additionally, a Bas Kohen couldn't eat it. So there were two criteria. Number one, you had to be a male. You had to be a Zachar. Number two, you had to be a Kohen. Bechol Michael, you could eat it any way you want. That's in contrast to the Karban Pesach that had to be Tzli, that had to be roasted. Liyoyim V'laylo, you had a day and a night to eat it. Ad Chatzois, even that, you didn't have a full night, you were only able to eat it until Chatzois. So the Mishnah gives us a whole smorgasbord of halachas that relate to the Chatois HaChitzoinios, the Chatois HaTzibur, and the Chatois Yoch. Just a few things, commentary on the Mishnah. Number one, the Mishnah gave examples of Chatois HaTzibur, Seirei Rosh HaChadashim V'Shalmayadis. So on Rosh Chodesh, there was a Karban Musaf that was brought. Part of the Karban Musaf that was brought on Rosh Chodesh involved a Sa'ir, a goat, that was brought as a Karban Chatzibur. On all the Yamim Tovim, there were Musafim that were brought. Part of the Musafim that were brought on Yantav also was a Sa'ir that was brought as a Karban Chatas. What's noticeably missing is Shabbos. Shabbos also a Karban Musaf was brought. It doesn't say the Seirei Shabbos. The reason is because on Shabbos there was no Chatas. When the Pasuk in Parashas Pinchas tells us what the Karban Musaf looked like on Shabbos, he said every Shabbos in Musaf, V'yayim HaShabbos Shnei Kvasim B'nei Shana Tmimim U'Shnei Esroinim Soilis Mincha Balula B'Hashem V'Niskai. So what did they bring? Two Kvasim, two Shepsalach B'nei Shana Tmimim Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbatai Al Oilas Atomit V'Niskai. Meaning, in addition to the two kvasim that were brought every single day, that was the Karban Tamid. So on Shabbos, you brought an additional. That's al oilas atamid. In addition to the oilas atamid, now there's this oilas Shabbos b'Shabbatai. All it was a Karban oilah. If you go through every other Karban Musaf that was brought, all mentioned in the Parshas Pinchas, uverashi chadshechem takrivu oilah l'ashem, parim b'nei bakar shnayim, v'ayol echad, kvasim b'nei shana shiva tamimim. It was a much larger cocktail of karbanas. And then at the very end, it says, v'seir izim echad l'chad, and every single yontif, the Torah chazes over again that in addition to the oilos that were brought, there was always going to be a karban chatas that was going to be involved. What was this karban chatas mechaper on? I would say every chatos was mechaper, but now after learning zvachim for about 50 days, we know that's not true. There were chatos that were mechaper. The chatos mitzayra, the chatos nazar, the chatos nachshoyim, but stam carbon chatos was a mechaper. So what was a mechaper for? So that's the first mishnah mesachta shvuos. It was mechaper for tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. So if somebody was tummy and he ate kachim, or if somebody was tummy and he entered the beis hamikdash, depending on what level of shoygig he was. He knew, he didn't know, he forgot, he almost knew, he thought he knew. All the different variables that are discussed in detail in that first Mishnah Masechta Shavuos, a Sa'ir on Rosh Chodesh or on Yontif, or even the Sa'ir that was brought in Yom Kippur, even the Pariyoy Makipurim, the Iker Kapara, of all these Chatois that were brought on the Moyadim, were for Tumas Mikdash for Kaddish. In fact, Yom Kippur, the only thing that was brought to be Mechaper for the other Averis was the Sa'ir LaZazel. So the Sa'ir LaShem and the Par and all the Viduyim, everything was Be'ikr for Tumas Mikdash for Kaddish. In Sechta Shavuos, we spoke out an idea, a thought of maybe why that was. I think it's a race. But the bottom line is that the Seirei Rosh Chodashim and the Mayadis came primarily for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Shabbos isn't mentioned because even though there was a Musaf on Shabbos, but there was no Sa'ir on Shabbos. Additionally, the Mishnah discusses that when the Kohen's doing these Hazois for the Karban Chatos, he had to do one for each Karen. And the Mishnah describes exactly how he would do it. So he would go up the ramp, he would go onto the Soiviv, that's this ledge, and he would come to Karen Dremis Mizrachis, Mizrachis Tzvoinis, Tzvoinis Maravis. So what's the reason for it? Why do you have to do it in this order? Clockwise, counterclockwise, right? Why couldn't he do it in a different order? So Rashi says it's based on the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, where the Gemara says, it's also later, Samach Beis, Amid Beis, Kol Pinoi Sha'ak Kapoyne, Yiu Derech Yemin. That every time the Kohen turned in the Azar, he always had to make right turns. There were no left turns. So he always had to make a right turn. So being that he always had to make a right turn, additionally, he always had to be facing the Mizbeach, couldn't have his back to the Mizbeach. So if you just do the math, if he's facing the Mizbeach and he's only taking rights, what's going to have to happen is he's going to have to do it in this order that it was done. Either way, there's some more ha'aris, but let's learn a little bit more gemaris. Says the gemar that the Karban Chatos required arba matanois al arba karnas. Zok the gemara hechi yavid. How exactly did he do it? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. It was a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar machlokes. Amar Chadam. One said noisen ama elach. The ama elach. One says that even though the word karen literally usually means corner, the kohen didn't have to get it exactly on the corner. Didn't have to be mamish on the spitz. On what the Gemara refers to, Chuda Shal Karen. Didn't have to be literally on that corner. But as long as you get it within an Amma this side or an Amma that side, that's going to be enough. Chadam, on the other Amma said, no, Mechata V'yoyrit Keneged Chuda Shal Karen. You have to try to get it on Chuda Shal Karen. It was Ma'akev for it to be literally on the corner. Says the Gemara, Alibi the Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon, according to Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon, the Amar who said, He Atzma Einasis Ela Begufa Shal Karen, the Kuli Amaloi Plik. According to Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon that said that the definition of Karen that the Torah says regarding Chatas is not the corner, but rather the horn. That's the horn that was protruding on the four corners of the Mizbeach on top. The Kuli Amaloi Pligi, there's no machlokes, meaning everybody agrees that it doesn't have to be on the corner. Everybody agrees it could be anywhere on that horn. We'll explain that in a minute. Ki Pligi, the machlokes is a Rebbe, the Rebbe. According to Rebbe, that holds that when it says karnos, it doesn't necessarily mean horn, but rather it could mean the corner. Oh. It doesn't have to be on the horn. It could be on the corner. What's the definition of a corner? Mar Savar, one held, Amma Eilach, the Amma Eilach, Keneged Karenu. Mar Savar, the other one said, no, within an Amma is not considered the corner. Keneged Chuda in, it has to be literally on the corner. Tfei Loi, otherwise not. So the Gemara begins this sugya of exactly where the Hazav, the Karban Chatos, was with the Machlokes Amirah, but says that really it's totally in a Machlokes Tanah. So the Gemara presents it a little backwards. So let's, the background. There's a machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rebbe. When the Torah says that the hazois of the Karban Chatos had to be on the four karnos of Mizbeach, what does karen mean? You find the karen is a horn. Karnei re'eim karnov. The re'eim has its horns. A karen is a horn. Karen also means a corner. So literally, tarti b'mashba. There's two definitions. They're not the same thing. A horn and a corner is not the same thing. The Mizbeach had horns, so to speak. The Mizbeach also had a corner. The horns were the four horns that were sticking out on the four sides of the Mizbeach. Each one was Amma by Amma. So it could be that when the Torah says that you should do the Hazois on the Karnos, it's referring to those four horns. Or maybe no, maybe it means the corner of the Mizbeach. So that even though it's not on the horn, it's beneath the horn. As long as it's on the spitz, as long as it's on the corner, that's going to be enough. So which one does it mean? Machlek is Tanah. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says that it means the horn. He atzma inu nasis ela begufa shal karen. Rebbe said that it's either one. Tarti b'mashma. Karnois could mean horn. Tarnois could mean the corner. And either one would be a kiyum of karnois. And either one would be considered a kosher azah, would be a kosher azik. Says the Gemara, this machloikis amirah, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, whether it had to be on the spitz, on chudish al keren, or it could be within an amma, and that alone is going to be enough. That's all Aliba the Rebbe. According to Rebbe, that says that it doesn't have to be on the horn, but it could be beneath the horn as well. So there we have a machloikis. Beneath the horn is within an amma enough, or does it have to be keneged chudish al keren? But according to Rabbi Shimon, that says that it had to be literally on the horn, over there it doesn't matter where on the horn it's going to be. Why? As far as pasha. Because the kiyum of karnois, according to Rabbi Shimon, is the fact that it's on the horn. It has nothing to do with corner. It has to do with horns. Anywhere on the horn. Who cares if it's on the left side, the right side, top, bottom? It's irrelevant. The kiyum of what the Torah told you to do is by getting it on that horn. Anywhere that I get it on the horn, it's going to be fine. The question is where it's not on the horn. It's beneath the horn. But it's still shayach to be a kiyum of karnois. Why? Because karnois is tarti b'mashma. It could also mean the corner. So that's the question. Does the corner mean literally the spitz? Chudei shal karen? Or as long as I get it within an amma, that's going to be enough. That was this machlekes amirah. Says the Gemara, how could it be a machlekes amirah? Meisvi, I'll ask you a kasha from a braisa that mirrors our mishnah. Chatoi sat tzibur v'ayochid keitz amatan dama hoya oila lekevesh. He would go up the kevesh. Afanu l'soyvev. He would go onto this ledge, the soyvev. Uvoloi the karen dremis mizrachis. He would go first to dremis mizrachis. Again, he has to make a right turn. V'toivel batzboi hayamonis. He would take his forefinger on his right hand, that's the finger next to your thumb, he would betoivel his finger into the blood, the Mishnah describes that he would take his thumb and then his etzba ketana and position them in a way next to his forefinger to make sure that the blood that he has on his forefinger that he just was toivel doesn't fall off. So he just has to make sure that he keeps the blood on his finger. And then he would do the hazah. How would he do it? Kineged chudash al keren. He would put it on the chudash al keren. Ad she mechale kol hadam shebe etzba. Until all the dam on his etzba got off. Vechein kol keren vekeren. But what do you see from this braisa? We need one part of this braisa, one excerpt that's relevant to us right now. And that is, Kineged Chudash Al Keren. It's Mefurish. So how could it be a Machlekes Amirah, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar? Whether it had to be Bechudash Al Keren, it didn't have to be Bechudash Al Keren. It's a Mefurish braisa that it had to be Bechudash Al Keren. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, the price is not a kasha. Mitzvah Bechudah. It's true. In the braisa, you see that there's a mitzvah, there's an idea for it to be Bechudash Al Keren. But it doesn't mean that it's Ma'akiv. Meaning, both Amirah that were arguing whether or not you need Chudash Al Karen agreed that Lekatchila is an Indian of Chudash al Karen. They were arguing whether it's Ma'ak. What if you didn't do it with Chudash al Karen? Is it still going to be okay or is it not going to be okay? That was the Shailah. Incidentally, another thing that you see in this Brisa is that the way the Hazar was done, it was done with the Etzpa of the Kayin. And that's in contrast to other Karbanos, which were done with the Mizrak itself. So ordinarily, when you think of Zrika, the Kayin did Kabbalah, Shchita Kabbalah. He now brings this Mizrak, the Klisharis, that has the Dam inside of it. He goes to the Mizbeach and he yanks the Klisharis, the Mizrach, in the direction of the Mizbeach, and that's how the Zrika was done. The Chatas was done differently. The Chatas required Tfilas Etzba, the Tovel Etzboi Badam, and then the Kohen would take his finger and place it on the Mizbeach. It's for that reason that he had to go up the ramp, and he had to be standing on the Soivev, because being that you had to get it on the Karnois, and you can't throw it with the Mizrach, so if you could throw it, so it's possible to do it from standing on the floor. But if you have to do it with your finger, the Mizbeach was 10 amas tall. So that's approximately 20 feet. So it's going to be, you have to be really, really tall to be able to do it, which is impossible. So it's for that reason he would have to go up the Soyvev, and that was the only way to make it work. The bottom line is, Zokhti Gemara Vaita, my Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon, what's the Bekortes Machlekes Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon? When the Torah says that the Chatas was put on the Karnis on Mizbeach, does it mean the horns of the Mizbeach, or does it mean the corner of the Mizbeach? The tiny we learned to the Brayis, Dabim El Yoinim, Nitanim, Michuta Sikra, Ula Maila, all dam that went on the upper part of the Mizbeach, which usually includes the carbon chatas, which had to be on the karnois, and the ulas ha'oif, which also had to be lemaila. By the way, the chatas ha'oif was always brought lemata. So there was a chutas sikra, the Gemara is going to talk a little bit more about it in a minute. That was a red string, so to speak, that encircled the mizbeach. It was at the midway point of the mizbeach. So the Mizbeach was 10 amas tall, so it was at the 5 amma point of the Mizbeach. It encircled the Mizbeach. So when we talk about Domim al-Yoinim, says the Braisa, it means, what does al-Yoinim mean? higher than what? L'mayla michot ha-sikra. And when we talk about the dalam ha-tachtoinim, it means l'mata michot ha-sikra. Divrei Rebbe. Lo z'Rav Shimon Oimer, but medvar ma'amurim ba'ilosai. That's not entirely true. When you say dalam ha-yoinim, it's enough that it's l'mayla michot ha-sikra. That's only true for the oilosaif. Avol b'chatas behema. Chatas behema, it's not enough that you bring the l'mayla michot ha-sikra. He adds me'inasis ela al-gufa shal teren. It has to be on the horn of the carrot. This is the machloikis. So when the Gemara said that the machloikis Rav Yoichanan and Rabbi Lazar is all Aliba the Rebbe who argues with Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon, my Rebbe, my Rabbi Lazar Rab Shimon, what's the source to this machloikis at Tanoim? It's the price that the Gemara just poured. I'm a Rab Avo, my time of the Rebbe. What's pshat in Rebbe? Rebbe who holds that when it says karnes, it doesn't mean the horns necessarily, but it means the corner. The chsif, he learned it from a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk says, V'haharil arba amois umeho ariel ulamayla hakronois arba. Now the haharil that's mentioned in that pasuk, Yecheskel Mem Gimel, is referring to the Mizbeach. So it says the Mizbeach was four amos. Fake the Gemara, arba amos, who the hava? No, it wasn't. It was 10 amos the Mizbeach. Why does it say four amos? Amar Rav Adbar Ahava, mokim karnois arba. It means that the mokim of the karnois took up four amos. But the Gemara says, is that true? Meaning, at first glance, maybe it is true. If each Karen was an Amma by an Amma, so 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, back of the envelope arithmetic. But the Gemara says that's really not true. Because if you take the four Karnois and you line them up, what you're going to have is a 2 by 2 block. And Arba sounds like 4 by 4. And really, it's only 2 by 2. Because it's two, one Amma, you line them up. One Amma, one Amma, what you end up with is 2 by 2. So the Gemara says, Mokum Karnois Dalet Havya, also Bitmiya, Ele'ema, Rishus Karnois Dalet. What it must mean is the Rishus, the area that's considered Karnois, is 4 Ammas. And the Cheshbin is because you had the Mizbeach was 10 Ammas tall. The horn itself was one amma. That means the area beneath the Karen was nine ammas. Going from the bottom up, five ammas up, there was a chut ha-sikra, which means there's four ammas between the chut ha-sikra and the Karen. That's the area that's not the Karen itself. It's the mokai ma-Karen. It's l'mayla mi-chut ha-sikra. And that entire area is a chashivos as it relates to Zrika of a karben chatas. But the bottom line is you want to know where Rebbe saw this idea that karnois is not just the corner, but there's a mokum karnes of Dalet Amos. That's how we understood this pasuk. Because you know what it meant? The haharil arba amos. What does it mean that it's four amos? It must be referring to the mokum, that area that's considered karnes as it relates to the hazois of chatas behema. So we mentioned the chut ha-sikra. Sokti gemara tanan hasam, we learned in the Mishnah, chut shal sikra chaygre be'emtza. There was a chut ha-sikra, this red string that was be'emtza mizbeach. The purpose of it was lahamdul bein domem el yoinim, le domem matachtoim. No, I'm going to read the Amr, because you find the Mishkan had something similar. The Mishkan says, "Vahoyso hareshes ad chatzi hamizbeach." There was a reshes made out of nechoshes that was at the midway point of the mizbeach. That was on the Mishkan. So you see that the Mishkan had a similar patent, something similar to this chut ha-sikra. It wasn't a chut ha-sikra, it was something else. It was a reshes, it's like a screen made out of nechoshes that was by chatzi hamizbeach. Nitna mechitza lehavdu medom yom medom tainet. What was the purpose of it? Probably for the same thing, because certain karbonis have to go lamata. Certain karbonis have to go lamaila. Lamata from what? Lamaila from what? There had to be something there. So what you had there was this rashi. So that was in the Mishkan. As related to the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't a Mishkan. As related to the Beis HaMikdash, it was a chut ha-sikra, shiori adam. So the Mishnah said, what did the Kohen do with the shirayim of the Karben Chatas that was born in the Mizbeach HaChitzoy? So the Mishnah said, what he did with it was, ha-yeshoifeich al-yesoid deroimus. And that's in contrast to what the first Mishnah of the Perek said, that what did the Kohen do with the shirayim of the Chatois HaPnimiyos? Not the yesoid deroimus, but rather the yesoid marovus. Tanu Rabbanu Nebrais, el-yesoid Mizbeach, zeh yesoid deroimi. Atoim is a yesoid deroimi, ayin el-yesoid marovi. Maybe it should be the yesoid marovi. Meaning, it doesn't say anywhere yesoid deroimi. It just says the Yisoid HaMizbeach. We're assuming that the carbon chattas that went on the Mizbeach HaChitzay, that how do you go on the Yisoid, went on the Yisoid Neravi? Maybe not. Maybe Yisoid Neravi. And it's more than just maybe not. More than just Mechatesa. It's for you, Mitzasim and Amifurish. I'll tell you why it makes sense that it should be the Yisoid HaMaravi. Because we had a limud, the Gemara brought a pasuk on that Nun Aleph Amid Aleph, to tell me how I know that the Hazois of the Chatois Hapnimis, Shirayim, ended up going on the Yisai Meravi. Because it said that it's supposed to go on the Yisai that was Pesach Hayom Moed. So Pesach Hayom Moed means the Kohen walks out. The Pesach Hayom Moed is going to be the one that's facing him, which is the Meirif side of the Mizbeach. So maybe Yilmud Sasim and Amafurish. By the Chatois Hapnimis, it says Mefurish where the Shlichus Shirayim is supposed to go. By the Chatois Chitzonis, it doesn't say. So doesn't it make sense to learn Sosum, Chatois Achitzonios, Ben Amafurish, Chatois Apnimios, so that both should be on the Yisoid Amarovis? The Gemara says, Amrit, no. Yilmad Yiridasim and Akevesh, Liatsiyasim and Hecha. We are going to learn Sosum and Amafurish, but not say, if this was on the Yisoid Amarovi, this should be on the Yisoid Amarovi. Zilbasar Taimel. Let's try to understand the halacha a little bit better. Let's understand the methodology. Why is it that Karbin Chatois HaPnimiyos, the Shirayim went on the Yisai Maravi, because that was the first one that he encountered after he did the Zrika. The Zrika was not in the Heichal. So the Kohen finishes doing the Zrika. He now exits the Heichal. He exits the Ulam. He comes towards the Mizbech HaChitzan where he's going to do the Shvich HaShirayim. And what hits him? The western wall of the Mizbech. That's what he sees. He sees the Yisai Maravi. So that's why you do it there. The same is going to be true as it relates to the Chatois Chitzan. When the Kohen comes down the ramp, so if you understand just the way that the Kohen travels on the Mizbeach, the ramp that he's going to come down and eventually come to the Yisoid, the first Yisoid that he's going to hit is the Yisoid Deroid. Oh, that's the first one that he's going to hit. That's the one you're supposed to do it. So it is Sosam and Amafurish. Sosam and Amafurish, the first one that he encounters. So in the Stam Mishnah, we have the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak that says, the Chatois HaPrimi HaShirayim went on the Yisoid Maravi. We have the second Mishnah here in the parak that says that the Shirayim of Chatois Chitzoid went on the Yisai Deraimi, stating that there's a brisa that brings other opinions. Tanya Bishmoloim, as ever, Yisai Maravi, both the Chatois Apnimiois and the Chatois Chitonis all went in the Yisai Maravi. Bishmoloim, as they say, Yisai Deraimi, they all went in the Yisai Deraimi. Bishlam, the man of Yisai Maravi, Bishlam, the man that says Yisai Maravi, Rabbi Shmol, Kosovo Yumud. Sosim and Amafurish. He holds that it says Mefurish Yisoid Maravi or Pesach Hayomai by the Chaytoyis Apnimiyos. Sosim and Amafurish says just like that, Yisoid Maravi. This is Yisoid Maravi, like the Gemara asked in the Kasha. Elo Lamandam Yisoid Deraimi. But according to Lamandam, Rabbi Shimon Yechai, that says they both went on the Yisoid Deraimi. My time, what's the source for both going on the Yisoid Deraimi? Amrav Asik, Sava Haytano, Kul Mizbeach, Bitsofen Kai. Rabbi Shimon Yechai held that the entire Mizbeach was in Sofen. Meaning, usually, you understand, based on the opinion of most Tanoim, the Mizbeach blocked, that didn't literally block it, but it blocked the entrance of the Ulam. So when the Kohen exited the Heichal and Ulam, so he would see the Meirif side of the Mizbeach. As a result, the first Yisoid that he encountered would be the Yisoid Maravi. There is a Mandama, however, that holds that the Mizbeach was completely to the northern side of the Azar, which means that when the Kohen exited from the Ulam, he didn't hit the Meirav wall of the Mizbeach. He would have to turn towards Tzofen to see it. So he's going to walk out of the Ulam, he's going to turn towards Tzofen, he's going to see the southern, the Dorim side of the Mizbeach, which means the first Yisoid that he's going to come to is actually the Yisoid Deraimi. That's why when the Shirayim of the Chatois HaPnimiyos went on the Yisoid Deraimi, the Yilmud Sosim and Amafurish, it's for that reason as well that the Shirayim of the Chatois Chitzonius is going to be on the Yisoid Deraimi as well. Lishnachrina Kulu Pasach Bedarim Kai. Lishnachrina, it's the same thing. Meaning that the Mizbeach was completely on the Tzofen side. As a result, the first Yisoid that he's going to encounter is the Yisoid of Tanit, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Oimrim, and Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva. They had a different version of what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai held. Meaning the Braisa that we just mentioned, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, Zeh v'zeh Yisoid deraimi. That all the Shirayim, whether it's from the Chatois HaPnimiyos or the Chatois Chitzonius, was all on the Yisoid deraimi. Rabbi Shmuel said, no, Zeh v'zeh Yisoid maravi. That even Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai holds, they're both on the Yisoid maravi. Meaning Rabbi Shmuel was the one in the Braisa that said Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi. Shimon bar Yochai argued. But Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they held Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai really didn't argue. So they used to say that, no, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai holds like us. A good way to remember it is Mishchu Gavra Legavra. You want to know who it is that held Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai really held Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi? It's the one that holds Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi. Who's the one that holds Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi? Rabbi Shmuel. So he himself was Moshech Gavra Legavra. He brought Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai onto his team. He held him. No, he also holds like me. He also holds Zeh v'zeh Yisoid Maravi. So before we start the next Mishnah, just one other aura. That is, so the Mishnah was discussing more halachas regarding the Karban Chatos. And one of the things the Mishnah said was, v'necholin lifnim min haklal, that the korban chatos was eaten, but it had to be eaten lifnim min haklal. Loosely translated, means it had to be eaten in the Azara. So kachin kalin could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, as opposed to kachin kadoshim, that had to be eaten dafka koyhanim, zichrei kuhuna, it also had to be eaten dafka in the Azara. I saw that Tiferes Yisrael, in his Yochanan Bayaz, asks, why did the Mishnah say lifnim min haklal? Kloyim literally means curtains. There were no curtains in the Beis HaMikdash. The Chaymes HaAzara were walls. They were Chaymes HaAzara. Remember, we discussed the Shiloh whether the Kaisel HaMaravi, the Kaisel, is it the Chaymes HaAzara or is it the Chaym of the Harabayas? But that's Be'erich what the Chaymes HaAzara looked like. It looked like the Kaisel HaMaravi. It was a wall. It's not Kloyim. Where were the klon? In the Mishkan, there were klon. But the Tana of the Mishkan is not discussing the halachas in the Mishkan. The Tana of the Mishkan is discussing the halachas in the Beis HaMikdash. So why does the Mishnah say, it's a subtle deal, but why does the Mishnah say, v'necholim lifnim in haklaim? It's true. In the times of the Mishkan, when the Yidden were in the Midbar, before they had a Beis HaMikdash, for those 40 years, so if a Kohen was going to eat Kachi Gadashim, it would be true. He'd have to eat it lifnim in haklaim, within the curtains that surrounded the chatzar of the Mishkan. But in the Beis HaMikdash, L'chura, it's Chaymos. So what the Mishnah should have said, it has to be eaten in the Azara. Where do you find this lashon of Lefnim min haklal? So the Tveret Yisrael says two mahalchim. The second mahalch he says as follows. Oid nearly, the muchach mikan. It's a raya from this, the kol perik zeh. Midein by machloikis, being that there's no machloikis in Perikezel Mekoyman, who beloshein mamish, kemoshe nimsolonu mimoshe rabbeinu olav hasholem yisinei. This Perek is literally word for word verbatim the way Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to the Yidden on Har Sinai. Ulahachi nokat klaim, and that's why it says klaim. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu said over this halacha, he wasn't discussing Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi. He was discussing the Mishkan, and the Mishkan had klaim, and that's why, being that we're just quoting the Mishnah verbatim, we say lefnim min haklaim because that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu gave. As I state in the Pharisee Strong, that this Mishnah we have word for word from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says this over with regards to the Mishkan. The Mishnah had Kloim, not Chaymais. That's why it doesn't say Lefnim min haklal. It's that reason that it says. But the Pharisee Strong begins by prefacing it and saying, the Muchach Mikan, the Kol Perik Zeh, Mide'ein Boi Machlokes. What does that mean? That there's no Machlokes in Perik Zeh or Mekoyman. So the background to that is the Halach and Shulchan Aruch, the Tor, and the Mechaber in Eir Chaim Simin Nun say, Kavu Lishnois Acha Parshas HaTomid, Perik Zeh or Mekoyman, Ubraisid Rabbi Shmo. So there are people that have the minute. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Every morning you say Karbonos, the Parshas HaTomid. Afterwards you say the Mishnayos of the Perek that we're learning right now, Perek Ezel Mekoyman Ubraisad Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. What's the reason for it? Kadesha Yiska Kol Adam Lumay B'chol Yoy. So a person should learn every day Mikra Mishnah Gemara. So the Parshas HaTomid, that's Mikra. Perek Ezel Mekoyman is Mishnah, and Rabbi Shmuel Oimer is a Braisa. That's Gemara, Rash, the Mechaber says, the Braisit Rabbi Shmuel Havim Machim Gemara, Shav Medrash Gemara. That's the reason that every day we say these things. Incidentally, it's based on the Gemara Masechtas Kedusha, where the Gemara says, L'Oilu Mishana Adam Talmudai. A person should make, divide his learning into three groups. Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. And Tosfos over there famously says that today we learn Gemara, and Gemara being that it's Bolol, it's mixed with Psukim, and you have Mishnayis, and you have Braises, and you have Gemaras, you have Avayis Da'abayi V'Rava, you have Raid, right? That's the Gemara that we learn, and as a result, it's all included. So you could be Yotze everything by learning Gemara. But that's what the Mechaber says, that for a person that doesn't do Daf Yomi, a person that maybe doesn't learn a blot Gemara every day, so what should he do? He should learn. Is Parshas HaTomid, Perik Ezeo Mekoyman, Upraise the Rabbi Yishma. The purpose is, you have Mikra, you have Mishnah in Gemara. Says the Beis Yosef, that I saw B'Shem Dura'ah, that why did they pick Perek Ezel Mekoyman? They couldn't pick another Perek. It says, because if you go through Perek Ezel Mekoyman, there isn't one Machloikis mentioned in the Perek, which is very, very rare. So you have a Perek in Shas of Mishnayis that doesn't have one Machloikis. And being that there's no Machloikis, and it's also been Yoni HaKarbonos, and there's an Indian to say the Parsha of Karbonos every day, because Kaloisif Beteris, Oilok, Hilok, Ravoil, etc., etc. So it has these two Milas. Number one, it's Kachim. So learn Kachim every day. Number two, there's no Machloikis. Being that there's no Machloikis, we picked it every day. Why? What does no Machloikis have to do with anything? Because that means that the Mesoira is Borer. There's a clearer Mesoira with regards to Perek Ezel Mekoyman than there is with regards to everything else. So it's a klara Mishnah. It's literally halacha l'moshe misinai in such a clear way. It's for that reason that it's mentioned. The Vilna Goyin and Bir Agron, this halacha brings this idea. And the Goyin's lashon is the ubacharu be'elu mishum shehi minyoni akarbonos ukelula sham kol akarbonos v'yalocha l'moishe misinai berura. It's halacha l'moishe misinai berura. There's a certain berura in this perek than there is versus other prakim. That's what the Tiferes Yisrael was referring to. Now the Bishyos brings up a shame the Ra'ah. It's interesting. The Ritva was a Talmud of the Ra'ah. The Ritva Mesachta Zavayda Zara daf yutesam edbeis brings this b'shem his Rebbe as well. He says that his Rebbe said that the zeshah biru lahem perik is el mekayim yosim mishara prokem oirim ama moiri v'Rebbe v'nei shekulay shoni b'loy shum machloikis klal, because there's no machloikis. But then the Ritva asks a kash. He says, is that true? Is there no machloikis of perik is el mekayim? The end of perik is el mekayim. The Mishnah discusses the Korban Pesach, and it says that the Korban Pesach was nechal ad chatzos. Right, the Ritva, it's really machloikis. Machloikis Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, whether the Korban Pesach was only nechal ad chatzos, or whether the Korban Pesach was nechal kol ha'leil. How could you say that there's no machloikis? There is a machloikis. Teretz is, you have to say, that even though there's a machloikis, but the machloikis is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Meaning it's true. That Mishnah, that Stam Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that holds it's nechal ad chatzos, which incidentally, a lot of Rishonim hold that loch is not like it. That's the Avnei Nezer we spoke on Shavuos night with eating gafi koimen up to chatzos, really a suffix. It's totally in the shiloh. But the bottom line is that in the Mishnah itself there's no machloikis. And being that in the Mishnah itself there's no machloikis, that's why it's not going to be a problem. Yedidi Reb Shmuel Reuven Grossman, so he sent me a nice shtickle on this last night. The emes is that Ritva asked from Korban Pesach, but there's other ha'aras as well. The Mishnah said right in the beginning of the perek that there was a mitzvah of shvichas shirayim, ve'im loy nosan loy ikev. In other words, shirayim loy makvi. Yesterday's daf. It's machloikis in the Gemara. It's not true. The man d'amrim that hold that shirayim is makvi. The Mishnah in the beginning of the parak said that where did the Shirayim of Chatois HaPnimiyus go? They went on the Yisoid of Maravi. The Mishnah we just learned said, where did the Shirayim go? They went on the Yisoid the Raimi. We just learned the Gemara a moment ago. Where the Gemara brought some Achleikis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Baichai. They both went on the Yisoid Deraimi. They both went on the Yisoid Maravi. So again, you see it's from Achleikis. Not everybody agrees with that, but it's the same Teretz. The Teretz is true. There are certain things that are said in Paragezeh and Mekayman that are Achleikis Shnuya. But at the same time, even though they've been machloikis shnuya, the machloikis isn't mentioned in the Mishnah. It's a little schwer because Pasha, you understand. What's the punchline? It's halacha brura, like the Vilna Gaon says. It's clear. That means if this is what it says in this Mishnah, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. I mean, Tiferes Yisrael takes it to the extreme. He says that's why it said kloyim, and it didn't say azara, because this is exactly the way Moshe presented. If Moshe Rabbeinu said ad chatzais, so how could it be a Rabbi Akiva that says kol alayla? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. This is all above my pay grade, but. But the bottom line is just one ha'ara based on a subtle diak in a Mishnah, chutz min haklam, l'chur, it should have been the azara. Either way, zok the Mishnah vayta oila, kachi kadashim. So we go from the carbon chatos to the carbon oilas. It says the Mishnah, number one, you should know that the carbon oilas kachi kadashim. As a result, shchitasa b'tzafoin, the kibul dama b'klisharis b'tzafoin. I saw in the beginning of the perek that the Iker halacha of tzafin is said not by the chatas, it's said by the oila. So much so that the Gemara asked the kasha, why does the perek start with the chatas? It should have started with the oila. The dam and ta'an shtei matonis shein arba. The way the zrika of the carbon oila was, it wasn't four matonis on the four karnois, but rather it was done differently. It was shtayin shein arba. We'll see what that means in a moment. Utuna hefshit. The carbon oila had to be skinned, the animal, after the shchita. The nituach, then it had to be chopped up. The kol of the ishan, then it was completely burnt. It was consumed entirely by the Mizbech. Says the Gemara, Oila, my time atonally kachi gadashim. Why does the Mishnah have to say that the Oila was kachi gadashim? Doesn't say the Chattas is kachi gadashim. The Asham is kachi gadashim. Ha Oila, kachi gadashim. Don't we know that? So the Gemara says, we actually don't, ironically. Shouldn't be like, Sivba kachi gadashim ho? Interesting. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that the Oila is kachi gadashim. It says the Chattas is kachi gadashim, the Mincha is kachi gadashim, the Asham. It doesn't say that the Oila is kachi gadashim. Stating that Chazal knew it was kachi gadashim. Frank Rashi, yeah. How did they know? Maybe it's not kachi gadashim. So Rashi says, if it's kulei kolo, it must be that it's kachi gadashim. But regardless, being that the pasuk doesn't say that it's kachi gadashim, so that's why the Mishnah felt that it had to emphasize that her oila is also kachi gadashim. The daman ton shnei matanoi shein abehechiyav. And how do you do the zrika of the carbon? Rav said noisein v'chayzer v'noisein. He would go to the two of the four corners, and on each side of the corner of the mizbeach, he would do a zrika. One on this side, one on that side. Then he'd go to the other side of his mizbeach. One on this side, and one on that side. Which sides did he have to be on? So he had to make sure that he was keneged hayesoid. Right? The Gemara said, kal v'chomer from shvichas shirayim. Ma shirayim she'en ma'akvin. has a din yisoid. So tchilas oila she ma'akev, it's mechaper. Certainly, it requires yisoid. So you go to two of the corners of the mizbech, and on each side he would do azal. But the way Rav explains it is it's noisem v'chayze v'noisem. So it's really four matanos, meaning on each side he would be noisem v'noisem. Go to another corner, and again he would be noisem v'noisem. So he's really doing four zrikas. So why is it shtayim? Because he's going to be on two corners. He has to be connected to Yisrael. He can't just be on the four walls. Because there were sides, Deroimis Mizrachis, that didn't have a Yisrael. So you have to be connected to Yisrael. That's why it's going to be Shtayim. You have to be standing in two areas. There's only two areas where you could do this, where you're connected to Yisrael. But at the end of the day, there's going to be four Matana. Shmuel Amash Shmuel says no. You know why it's Shtayim Shein Arba? Because it's Matana Achas Kamin Gamma. Noisin, meaning it was two zrikas, but he did the two zrikas connected the corner. So he did it in a way that each zrika would divide into two. It would divide like the Greek letter gamma, meaning on each side, on each wall, you would have this Greek letter gamma, which Rashi said is similar to our endachaf. But the bottom line is that's the way you would do it. So according to Rav, there were actually four zrikas. According to Shmuel, it's two zrikas. That's the shtayin sheinah. But the Gemara says ketano. It's really machlik ketano. Two prices. The first price, I would have thought that the oil should have one zrika. Talmud loy mar saviv. It says saviv. You can't do one zrika and get it onto the four walls of the mizbech. Is saviv. Based on saviv, yochi yakifenu kachot. I would think that it should be literally saviv. Take your finger maybe and take it all the way around. Talmud loy mevazarko. It says you're not supposed to put your finger on the mizbech. You're supposed to do a zrika. Okay, it's like, how do you do that? Kamin gamma, shtei matone shein arba. You do it kamin gamma. You do shtayin shein arba. Each one divides kamin gamma. That's the way you're supposed to have it. This is a brisa that says Shmuel's halacha. Rabbi Shmuel said differently. Nema kan saviv, nema lalun sav. It says saviv by the carbon chatos. It says saviv by the carbon oil. Mal halon pisuk v'arbe matonos. Avkan pisuk v'arbe matonos. Just like by the carbon chatos, it was literally four azoyes. So to here, it's going to be four azoyes as well. Im mal halon arbe matonos al arbe kanos. If over there it had to be on the four corners, maybe here to avkan arbe matonos al arbe kanos. Amrit oila tuni yisoy v'kerem mizrachas droim mizlohele yisoy. You can't do four on the four corners because, like we said before, the oila requires yisoy, and there was a part. The Mizrachis Dreimis didn't have a Yisoid. And being that it didn't have a Yisoid, it's not possible to do the oil on that side. You need four. The way you have the four is you stand on the corner, you put one on this side, you put one on that side, and that's the way it's going to work out. Regardless, we're going to stop here. Speak on a little more raid, but we're going to stop here. Tomorrow's daf is going to begin with a classic Gemara. It's going to end with a classic Gemara. It's a hashtag really nice daf. But for now, just one final R. So the machlek is Rav and Shmuel, which we saw as Tana. It's really a machlek is Tanam of exactly how the Zrika of the carbon oil was done. The Mishnah says, Shtayin Shein Arba. A little ambiguous. What does it mean, shtayim shein arba? Is it two or is it four? So according to Rav, it's really four. It's just shtayim in that you were standing by two corners because there was a din you had to be connected to Yisoy. According to Shmuel, it's literally shtayim shein arba. What you did was you would do this zrika on the corner and you would get the dam to split, to divide in a way that it was kamin gamma on each one of the walls. What does this mean, kamin gamma? So Rashi says it's like the endachaf that we have in our alephbet. So our endachaf mirrors the Greek letter gamma, and on each wall, because of the way the blood was divided by the corner, you're going to end up having kamin gamma. Shtel tzich deshayma, a very obvious question here. That if the Greek letter gamma is similar to our letter endachaf, so why didn't Shmuel just say like an endachaf? Why are we talking about Greek letters if we could talk about the ois endachaf? I mean, doesn't it make more sense for us to be talking about the endachaf than to talk about the Greek letter gamma? So I'll just tell you something interesting, just to digress a little bit, and that is a fascinating tshuva from the Heilige Divrei Yoel, the Satmar Rebbe. The Divrei Yoel was asked a question by one of the members of the Chevra Kadisha, and that is, he wanted to know that the cemetery, they put numbers on the matzevas. They put numbers on the matzevas simply so they should know which matzevas which for their database, their computer system. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like this, they're able to identify certain matzevas. The shoyel asked the Satmar Rav, is it okay for a matzeva to have numbers on it? The number 1, the number 2, why not? It was based on a tshuva from the Maram Shik, where the Maram Shik wrote two tshuvas where he's very, very disturbed that he said he saw matzevas, and people would write on matzevas in other languages other than Lashon Kodesh. And the Ram Shik was very, very upset about it. He said that a matzeva is a davar kaddish. It's related to the neshama. It's related to tchias amesim, a beis hakfaris, a yiddish a beis hakfaris is a makum kaddish. It's agmas kaddish. And how could you take a language that's not lashon kaddish, a treifa language, and go ahead and write it on matzeva? So the shayla wanted to know that if the Ramchik was so bothered by people writing in English or Polish or Russian or Hungarian or whatever it was on these matzevas, so maybe you shouldn't write these numbers either. So instead of writing one, we should be makbid. Speak to the union, but you should talk to them and say, we don't want one, we want Aleph. We don't want two, we want Bay. We want 511, we want Tuf, Kuf, Yud. Right, let's go work it out and make sure that it's going to have the Osius HaKadoshis. You're writing it on Matzeva, you're writing it on Mokum Kodesh. That was the question that the Shoyal asked the Satmarov. And the Satmarov told him that I'm not masking. He said it's not an issue. And he has a very, very long tshuva. If you want to look it up, it's in Yerideya, tshuva Kuf Aleph. 101, pun intended. Either way, it's in tshuva Kuf Aleph, and the B'yoyal over there is Meirich, and he brought many, many rayas that it's not an issue. He said, number one, he said, it's true that Ramchik wrote a tshuva, and he said that a Beis HaKfaris is a Makom Kaddish, and a Matzev is a Makom Kaddish. He said, but it's not more Kaddish than a Beis HaKnesses, and then a Beis HaMedrash. And he says, if you look around the Beis HaKnesses, you can find numbers. You have a clock. Clock has numbers on it. Right, you have an address in front. So there are numbers. And he says, there were big tzaddikim that obviously with the Rabbanim, I'm sorry, the Marad Asras, and they davened in these shuls, and if they felt that it was wrong to have these treifa numbers, says these were Rabbanim that were kanoim, they would be very, very makbid if there was anything Balosh and Laz ever found in a Beis Medrash. And yet, this is something that they never had an issue with. Feistois, there's a nafgamina between letters, the actual language, and numbers. He says maybe the nafgamina is, he says, because a language is related to an Ummah, right? Every Ummah has its own language. Every Ummah also has a Sar and a Moshel in Shemayim. And that sar of these umois is treif, and as a result, it causes a certain tarfus in the language, so to speak. But he says numbers is an international language, right? Everyone knows what $100 is. That's international. And because it's international, as a result, it's not related to any one particular sar or moishel or mazel in Shemayim. As a result, it doesn't have the tumah. Regardless, said the Satmarov, you see clearly from the Bati Knesias or Bati Midrash, it's not a problem. So a Beis HaKfaris has to be more common than a Beis HaKnesses. He says if nobody was ever makbid in a Beis HaKnesses to have something like this, I don't think you have to be makbid when it comes to something like that. Another raya he brings is from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He said Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Siddur Yavetz talked about how bad it was that people would talk and speak or write and use shar l'shoynois shalaz. It was something that he was very makbid in. He says, yet if you go through the Siddur Yavetz, in the Siddur Yavetz you're going to find numbers. Page 107, 108. There are numbers in the Siddur Yavetz. And he says, we know Rabbi Yaakov Emden had his own printing press. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, incidentally, the history is he had to have his own printing press because of the machlokes, Rabbi Yenis and Eibishitz, and there was a lot of controversy. People didn't want to print the Svarim. Or people were printing his Svarim and they were claiming that he wrote things that he didn't really write, and he ended up getting a license to run his own printing press. He used to print his own Svarim. That's where the real Svarim collectors, Yaakov Emden's Svarim is a very, very hot commodity in the Svarim collecting world. So the real Svarim collectors, the Yoidei Dover, they'll pay a lot more money for a sefer that came from Yaakov Emden's own printing press versus some other one, because from an authenticity standpoint, if it came from Yaakov Emden's print, you know it's authentic. So it's interesting. Satmarov said that the Siddur Yavetz came from Yaakov Emden's own printing press, and there were numbers. So it's not like you're going to say some Talmud Toya did it. He micromanaged it. He knew exactly what was going on there. And there were numbers. He writes about other languages. He says, clearly, you see that there's a chilik between numbers and when it comes to languages. He says that the emes is that, I'll bring you a rayot of, because there's a machlokes, there's a Mishnah Masech Tishkalim. The Mishnah over there discusses that there were three kupois that were in the Beis HaMikdash that where they used to keep the Shkalim. And there's a machlokes, what exactly it said on those kupois. One mandama, the Chachamim say, you know what it said? It said Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Very simple. Kupa Aleph, Kupa Beis, Kupa Gimel. That's how you are able to identify the three. But there's a mandama that argues. He says that it didn't say Aleph, it said Alpha. And it didn't say Beis, it said Beta, right? And it didn't say three, it said Gamma. So it had the three Greek letters. This is in the Beis HaMikdash. This is on the Kupa. Now you have to know why they did it that way. So obviously there was a Cheshbon, and he explains what the Cheshbon was. But at the end of the day, if it's not something you're allowed to do, they wouldn't have done it. So it's something that you find even in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you find it in the Beis HaMikdash, it was okay. And then, said the Satmarov, it could be even more than that. It could be, the Satmarov said, that not only is it okay to use numbers, it could be it's more like Katchila to use numbers. And he brings a beautiful Maramakim, and that is a Pischei Tshuva. It's in Yerideya, Hilchas Sefer Torah, in the end of Siman Reish Pei Gimel, the Pesachei Tshuva says as follows. I quote: "V'ayim b'tshuvas divrei Yosef Siman Mem Aleph shekasav sheshama mipi moiroi Reb Shmuel difas." The mitam zeh kishemeis benoi, when his son died and he made a matzeva for his son loyoleno loyrotzel lichtayv b'ksav ashuri akina. So when he wrote the kina on the matzeva, he didn't want to write the kina b'ksav ashuri. The ksav ashuri, that's the ksav that the Sefer Torah is written in. Rather elokasav oisav b'ksav shekoyren Rashi. And the reason is because he felt that ksav ashuri is so holy that he felt it shouldn't be used for a matzeva. That he felt ksav ashuris should be miyuchad, it should be used for things, dvarim shel kedushin, but to go ahead and use ksav ashuri for a matzeva, he didn't want to use. So said the Sat Merav, a matzeva is a davar shel kedush. Like we spoke after the Ramshik. Ramshik said in a tshuva, it bothered him that people use shalosh oinos. But and at the same time, the Pesachei Tshuva brings that this tzaddik didn't want to write in a matzeva ksav ashuris because he felt that the ksav ashuris is miyuchad for kisvei kedush, and he didn't want to use it for something that's not mamish kisvei kedush. He didn't want to use it for a matzeva. So he says, you see, there's a sensitivity you have to have. You have to have a sensitivity when it comes to using lashon kodesh. Lashon kodesh is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you want to use it, but at the same time, you can't defile it either. You can't use it as chulin. You can't treat it as a regular lashon. Samarov says that it's for that reason he believes that you find that the tzaddikim didn't speak lashon kodesh. Why did they speak lashon kodesh? So it brings from the Chasam Sofer, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He says the reason must be because they didn't want to be mechal lashon kodesh. They understood that. Yeah, on the one hand, it's very nice. Speak that Lashon Kodesh, that's the Lashon Hashem communicated with the Nevi'im with, right? It's a very chashuv Lashon. But at the same time, to go ahead and use Lashon Kodesh to talk about business or other mundane things, so you have a sensitivity to that. And it's interesting, he brings from the Chasam Sofer and the Tshuva, it's an Evan Ezek Chelek Beis. It's Simin Yud Aleph. So the Chasam Sofer over there was discussing a get that came to him. The get came from the city of Pest. But the word Pest was pronounced wrong, or it was spelled wrong. And the Chasam Sofer was writing that he doesn't understand how they got it wrong, and Latin, and this and that. He goes through, it's an interesting Chasam Sofer. But then he says like this, just one excerpt. This is the part that the Divrei Yoel brought for his Shuvah. Uledaiti gama kadmoinim hayu bekiyim luloya zimbalaz. The Kadmoinim, they knew how to speak language. You think they couldn't talk to you? They knew Kol Terukul. They couldn't speak English. I mean, they knew how to speak in Shal L'shoynes. Ach be'kavona shipshu al L'shoynes. They purposely distorted the language sometimes with Negzeres Yud Ches Davar, related to the Yud Ches Dvarim. Shabbi Yushalmi Perikam de Shabbos. Fascinating. He says that we know the Yud Ches Dvarim, just like Mesach Zvay Dazar, not so long ago. So he had all these things that the Chabim said, Pasakum and Shemenakum and maybe Cholov and all these other things, that you have the Yud Ches Dvarim, these things that a Yid is supposed to keep shmirois and harchokos, you shouldn't get too close to the guy. So even the tzaddikim, he says, the kadmain and the chsan soiv that knew how to speak Balashan, they would sometimes distort it. So Freyta Devriel, I don't understand. They're speaking Balashan laws, but they're distorting it. Because of this, from a cheshbin, because of the Yud Ches Dvar. I mean, the Chasam Sofer says, speaking the Lashon of the Goyim is somehow related to the Yud Ches Dvar. But frankly, the Rayo, why don't you speak Lashon Kodesh? Just makes much more sense. Says, the Teretz is this. The Teretz has to be, they didn't want to speak Lashon Kodesh. It's a double-edged sword. See, he says, to write a matseva, Balashan Kodesh, he said, that's something I'm okay with. But to write the numarim, the numbers, already, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Mechateisi, to go ahead and take the Halag Oisius and to use it for that, that's something that maybe he's not so okay with. It reminds me now, I remember that I once heard Chumashir from Avraham Yeshua. So he was saying that somebody told him that there was a Mora somewhere in Bnei Brak, in a Ganenet. She was teaching the boys Aleph Beis. So they came to the letter Kuf. So he said she came in dressed up like a monkey, like a Kuf, you know, like a monkey, and she was trying to get the kids to say the letter Kuf. Needless to say, I'm sure wasn't happy about it. I still remember he was like, you know, jumping the way the monkey jumps. And I said, this is the way you teach boys Aleph Beis, and then they want to know years later why the kids don't want to learn Torah. Because in this kid's mind, he says the Halag Ois Kuf is a mushroom for Yena Chayat Meir, Vayena Kuf, Vayena Kuf. That's what he's thinking about when he comes to the letter Kuf. He says, let me tell you the way my father taught me Aleph Beis. He says, I still remember my father sat me down and he said, me gets Choslel and Aleph Beis. Das the Chav Beis Oisia Shaboy Nivru Shemayim Va'aretz. Das Gemein the Halag Ois Kuf. Nishta Moshal of Yena Chayat Meir.